Today's share in the Deir Shu Mishnah Brura Yomi program is Daf Lamed Ches Omed Aleph. We're in the fifth volume of Mishnah Brura, in the middle of Simen Tof Nun Aleph, learning the halachos of kashering various utensils. And yesterday we began Siv Gimel, which begins at the bottom of Lamed Zayin Omed Beis. We said that sakinim, a knife, magilin b'chli rishon mutarim. You can just put it into a kli rishon that is hot. We defined a little bit of kli rishon. We'll define it more today. We said a kli rishon is nikwa sheritichu bo mayim al eish. It was a boiling pot of water that was originally on the fire. And you can put the knife into it, even if it's no longer on the fire, because it is still boiling. Now, we had begun siv katan yud tes in the Mishnah Brura, and we're on two lines from the bottom, daf lamed zayin, omud beis, in the innermost column of the Mishnah Brura, telling us halachos about kashering knives that are applicable all year long. So the Mishnah Berurah says, V'sakinin habluim mibasar. And now you want to use it, l'cholov, you want to have a knife that was a fleshach knife, and you say, listen, I would like to use this from now on going forward as a milchik knife, I'd like to kasher it. So dai b'hagola, it is adequate to do the hagola, putting it into the boiling pot of water that's not even on the fire, that is considered acceptable. However, he brings down, that's from a pure kashrus point of view. Acha olam nagu isu b'zeh. The Welt holds, the world holds over here, not to do something like this. Why not? So the Shaar HaTzion in Oschav Gimel says, this will be discussed by the Magen Avraham in Simen Tov Kuf Tes. And we can see this inside Deir Shu footnote number 19, but let's first look at Deir Shu footnote number 18. These can be found in the back, of course, on page 16. Now, Deir Shu footnote number 18 tells us, B'shas HaTchak, the Prima Gadam allows this, that when you have no other knives and you have to make a fleshach knife kashered into becoming a milchik knife or vice versa, you'd be allowed to do that. Likewise, im avar vihigil klei chalavi, if you went and did hagala on milchik kelim and now you use them to cook a fleshach meal in these now kashered pots, so the shelos shuvus marsham says b'di'evid lo nesar kli. While the minig is not to do this, we wouldn't say that it wasn't kosher after the fact. And this is also the opinion of Moshe Feinstein's Zatzal in the Yigris Moshe. Shalom nohagu, el shalom lahagu, kelim elu l'chatchila. He says the minig is not to go switch from milchus to fleshus to fleshus to milchus, because as we'll see, it's too much of a potential problem. However, not that it doesn't work. It does work, but the minig is not to do so. He says, it's incidentally, that if you leave a milchik kli for 12 months without using it, so the Marsham brings down, in the name of the Eishel Avromi Bachach, mutu l'chatchilu l'hagilo. In that situation, you would be allowed to kashu it even l'chatchila and switch it to fleshich or vice versa. That would be allowed. Now, why don't we do this? So the Magen Avraham, as we pointed out in Simen Tov Kuf Tes, in the Shaar HaTzion, he pointed this out. In Deir Shu footnote number 18, he repeats us and reminds us what the Magen Avraham says. And he writes over there, the Magen Avraham writes, B'tam shenagu olam yisib b'zeh. Why does the Welt not do this? Because shim hoya efshu lahagil kelim b'basav b'cholav. If people were to be allowed l'chatrila to do a kosher or hagola and change the flesh of the knives at nighttime and make them into good breakfast knives in the morning, lohiya odom machzik elukli echod b'vat. People would say, listen, why do I need to buy two sets of utensils? I'll just keep on kashering back and forth. And I'll kasher it, use it for fleshes. I'll kasher it, use it for milchiks. That has huge problems associated with it. Number one, Shemo yite v'yishkach mayo shimu sha'achun shenasa b'kli. You're going to have this knife. It's not in your fleshik drawer. It's not in your milchik drawer. It's in your only drawer. And you're not going to remember, did we kasher this last time for milchis to fleshes or for fleshes to milchis? And it caused a lot of problems. And therefore, you may end up using it for fleshes when it really was milchik and vice versa. The Shaar HaMelech adds another reason, and he says, Yesh lochu shemu yavo lahagil asakli kishu ben yomo. This hagala process only works over here if it hasn't been used for 24 hours. Now, if you're going to keep on switching from one day to the next, you may end up saying, well, we used it 10 hours ago, that's enough. And that's not allowed. It has to be done hagala when it hasn't been used for 24 hours. Furthermore, he says in the third paragraph over here, lahagu klei cholav kidei lishtamish bo avor maichol parva. What about switching from a milchika utensil to make into a parv utensil, is that allowed? So the Marsham says, and they also the Eishel Avraham Bachach, that is permissible. And he adds, Shagamim Yirtza la'achar zman l'hov chol b'sari, and once you made it milchik to parva, and then you decide later on you want to make it fleshach, you can do that even l'chatchila. He brings that as well from the Shevet HaLevi, Rav Azaz Zatzal, Shemutu af lahagil kli chalavi l'parva u'lehefech. But ofan tmidi. You can even make something go from milchik to parva, parva to milchik on a regular basis. That's not a problem. But you should have some sort of a tzorich to do, so you shouldn't do it just because you can, but if you have a tzorach to do so, you can. Kivin shagamim yitir, because here, what's the worst case scenario? You're going to forget, so you're not using it with iser over here. You know it's either parva, or you know it's either fleishach over here. And therefore, there's no real potential problem over here, and that's why the rabbis didn't ask this lechatrila. On the other hand, Rav Nissen Karelitz Zatzal brings down hagolas kli halavi, he holds no. The chumra over here, not kashering for milchus the fleishes or make fleishes the milchus back and forth, or even on an occasional basis, we don't do that. Lechatchila, he says that applies to making something milchik to parva. Why? He says the hagala over here is levashel bosa meichel parva lochlem baser. He says normally that when people go and take a parva dish, the reason we want a parva is they want to have it with fleishes. And if we allowed you to do this, so it's essentially going from milchiks to fleishes, it says l'minog is l'chachila not to do so. Now we go back to the Mishnah Berurah, and he continues, last line on Lamed Zayin Amud Beis, because of the Tshuvas Chassam Sofer Simen Kuf Yud. The Chassam Sofer says, the Heichod Dehigil Letzorach Pesach, when you're kashering something for Pesach, so then you could use a milchik or chometz nikadish, and you're kashering it for Pesach, so once you've kashered it, it's no longer milchik. If you wanted to, you could use it for fleishos for Pesach. That would be allowed, even l'chatchila. Because you weren't doing this for the milchik's to fleishos point of view, you were doing it to kashered from the chometz point of view. The issue footnote number 20 brings down additionally that another way that you could go and make something from fleishiks to milchiks, which you normally don't do, is if you treif it up. Once you make it treif, and then you have to kasher it from the treifis inside of it, then you'd be allowed to switch it to milchiks afterwards. That would also be allowed l'chatchila. Now we go to the Mechaber. The Mechaber told us that this kli rishon that you could kasher the knife in doesn't even have to be on the fire. And he says, afilu eino ato alo esh, even if it's not right now on the fire. Rock, as long as, however, shoden rosech, it's still boiling, that's perfectly good for kashering. The Mishnah Berurah explains in Sivkot and Chof, view hamayim mal and resichel, they have to be bubbling, the waters have to be boiling hot. We'll learn those halachos when we reach the next simon. Ayin Shom, and look also in the Levush over there. Via hagola ayidei shiitchov bo hasakin, you place the sakin into the boiling pot, and not avolog shiya ayidei shiitin evin melubon ala sakin vitin ala rosin, and not, as we'll see, is an acceptable way of kashering certain utensils, is to take a boiling hot rock and put that on each part of the knife and pour water on it. That you shouldn't do over here for a knife, albeit, the common masiv vav in the Haggadah, the Ramah is going to tell us over there that certain kalim can be kashered in that way. And the reason is because lefi shebekli, in the utensils that we're talking about over there in siv vav, ha'evin munach besoch yofa, the evin fits nicely onto the kli, and you can get every single spot with the hot evin. Masha'en kain alasakin, as opposed to a knife, it would be very hard to do that, therefore you put the knife into the boiling water. The issue footnote number 21 brings down, v'keilim shebalu blias iser agabo esh, any utensil that acquired its iser directly from the fire. Kigon shebishol behem chometz agabo esh, you cook the chometz directly on the fire. So in that situation, we're going to learn in Sivkot and Lamed Vav, later in the simon, in the name of the Torah, in that situation, you shouldn't use a boiling pot of water that's off the fire. You should bedafka use a boiling pot that's on the fire. He then goes through a discussion when and how this applies. I am the rest of this footnote. Back to the Mechaber, who writes, the Kodem HaGola, before you do the HaGola, Tzorich L'shufam Yofeh, you have to go and rub off any Be'en Chometz from the knife, B'mashcheses, using some sort of a knife sharpener, or B'richayim, or some sort of a millstone over here, L'havir Kol Chaludo Shebehem, to remove any rust or any other pieces of blockage over here that wouldn't allow the HaGola to work. And that must be done before you do the HaGola, before you do the Kashering. The Mishnah Berurah explains in Sivkot and Chafalot, this mashchezes who adin bedavar acher shemeser hachaluda sagi. Anything that will remove the rust, the chaluda is the rust. Anything that will remove this thing is fine. So a knife sharpener would be one thing that would do it, but any other material would be fine as well. And you have to remove kol chaluda, all of the rust. Sivkot and Chafbez and Mishnah Berurah, dechsid befarishas hagolas kli midyon. We learned these dinim out from the kashrin that took place after we captured the kalim from midyon in the midbar. So ach es azov v'gom. It says, ach esazov. What does it mean? Klomar? Rak esazov. You must only kasher the zov. The hainu, kishain shom chaluda, without any rust on it. Rak zov. You can only kasher the gold over here. I think I said silver a minute ago. The zov is gold. But vadmo elis hagola lahaflu tabalua. Because otherwise, the hagola will not work if there's rust there blocking it. Avo kishay shom chaluda, if there is rust there, yesh lochu shema yesh shom mashum in a chometz, there may be some chometz over there, vahachaluda mechaseyu. The rust covers it up. And the Hagola can't get through the rust to remove the chometz from there. Kein Hagola l'mashu ba'in. Because Hagola doesn't work for something that's a mamashus. It only works for blios, for absorptions. The cause of a chaluda sheyesh bo ketzas mamashus. This is when you have shekorin rust. This is when you have real chaluda over here, real particulate matter that's blocking the Hagola from working. Kishagorin also, and when you'd remove this rust, misham yesham kam afurin, you'd get some particles that would come off from the rust. Little pieces of rust would come off. That needs to be removed. Shaz yesh lachu shem yesh tachteo mashu mamashus. You have to be concerned that there is some mamashus, some real iser underneath the rust. Ha asur ba'en v'achalud v'chaseo. And that iser would be ruining it for you, and the chaluda, the rust over here, is covering it up, so the hagola can't work. However, if the chaluda isn't really any real particulate matter, rak marabavad, it's just a change in color. Sometimes you'll find this, shachris is a darkening or admimus or redness, that the inside of the utensil is changed slightly in color, but it's not rust. There's no real matter over there. Shonu korin flecking, we call these flecks over here, or you can see these in the tirgum number two, are ksomim. They're like stains, ink paint. Then there is no problem. Likewise, if you have a tin container over here and it has changes in color, shikorin erd flecken, little specks over here. Shein ma'akvin is hagola, that won't prevent hagola from working. Kivan shein by mamashus, these changes in color aren't real matter. Rak maribovad, they're just appearance, and therefore the appearance will not prevent the hagola from working. Mechaber continues and he writes, Hilkoch, im yesh bo gumos, if the knife has in it little holes any place, v'ini yochel l'nakosi yofen, you can't clean out those holes well. Ein moa lo hagola, and he later continues, levad. Hagola alone will not work in this situation. What does it mean, hagola alone? So the Ramah adds, pirush haflota. We're talking here about being able to pull out, the hagola won't be able to pull out the blios inside over here if there are holes or things that prevent the hagola from working. Shakelim poltim or isa shebehem, that normally the keli would express these isurim under hagola. Where do we get this lashon of haflota from? So he quotes a pasuk from Iov, from Perek Chaf Aleph, pasuk Yod. V'hu milashon shoro ibar v'lo yagil. Now, if you ever needed the words v'gomer, you need them over here, because you can't make any sense of this from the first part of the pasuk that's quoted over here. Shoro ibar v'lo yagil. It means over here that literally the bull breeds over here and doesn't fail. The bull will breed successfully. Where's the word plita over here? Where's the word polate over here? So you need to see the end of the pasuk. It's amazing that they don't have the word vegomer over here, or why they don't just quote the end of the pasuk, but that's probably the editor's fault. And in any event, the end of that pasuk, perichafala pasuk yud in Eov, tefalate paraso veloseshako, your cow will give birth and it will not miscarry. So therefore, there the word is tefalate paraso, that shows that it expresses it, it gives it off. The cow gives birth, and that's the lashon over here of plita. In any event, if there are these holes over here, hagola levad will not work, continuing the mechaber. V'tzorich libun b'malkom hagumos. And you must do libun, actual firing, using a Bunsen burner, using a blowtorch, to remove the actual blios in this situation. They won't come off if there are holes over here. Why not? So the Mishnah Berurah explains in Sivkot and Chof Gimel, based upon this reasoning, which we'll explain, mitam ze eskimu achronim, the achronim agree, da sakin shakatish lo mechubar mimasmarim kitanim ein moel lo hagola. If the handle of the knife is attached over here to the blade using little hooks or little pegs over here, little nails, so then you won't be able to do hagola as well. Ki yesh gumos harbi mimokam mimasmarim, because you're going to have lots of little holes over here that will prevent the hagola from working. Because there's chomets in those holes that can't be gotten out. You have mamashus, hagola doesn't work. And certainly, if the handle itself is made from two separate pieces, mudbakim, that are sewn or pasted together, there's little spaces in between them, that you can put the blade into these handle. So sha'al piyaro, most of the time, you can't get rid of the chametz in there well. The issue footnote number 23 brings down a suggestion from Renis and Karl at Zasal, who says that why don't we put something like naft, some destroying agent in there that will destroy the chametz. He says it won't work because as you wash it out, so there still will be chametz that's left inside there that's roi l'chilas kelev once the naft is washed away. In any event, this won't work unless you do libun, therefore. And he says further, the Mishnah Berurah, sometimes there are holes or there are blemishes in between the blade and the handle. The actual anakos haitev, you won't be able to clean it well. Unless you remove the blade from the handle, and then you can kasha the blade. It brings down the name of the Prima Gadol. Furthermore, if the handle is attached to the blade over here with some sort of a glue, also hagala won't work. Since the glue will come apart if you put it in boiling water, and that will ruin your knife, you're going to be concerned over here that maybe the person won't do such a good hagala because he's afraid that he'll destroy his knife because the glue will be burnt out from the boiling water. He won't heat up the water well, and therefore it won't be a good hagala. And therefore, we have to be concerned about this. Likewise, if the handle is made out of some sort of a horn material, gamkein ain hagola boel, this hagola won't work there. Shakerin miskalka b'may rosim, because the horn material will also be destroyed in boiling water. And again, we have to be concerned. Yesh lachu shem yochu solav, that you won't do it properly, brings down the name of the achronim, and therefore it won't be a good hagola. The issue footnote number 24 brings down, that's why something like a microwave can't be kashered with hagola, because you obviously don't want the water to go into the electrical parts, and therefore it brings down from a yashiv, shein lagila bofen zeh, you can't do hagola on a microwave. The Mishnah Berurah in Sivkon Chof Dalet says you need to do libun in this situation. You have to put hot coals directly on that place, i.e. you put a blowtorch over there, a Bunsen burner over there, that will work. When you're doing libun, that will also destroy the rust, so you don't have to remove the rust. The libun will destroy everything. The issue footnote number 25 say how long do you have to do libun? So he says enough time that it has to be that if it was a piece of straw, it would burst into flames by coming into contact with the kli that you did the libun on. Mishnah Berurah Sivkon Chafei writes that you have to do libun on these places where the holes are. V'yasa kod magola, you should do the libun before you do the hagola. And lo asa ken, if you didn't do this mikodem, yasa za achar hagola, then at least do the libun after the hagola. But ideally, you should do the libun first, then the hagola. The Ramah then adds, and he says, hagoa v'hanadon shel sakinim, the nadon is the sheath that the knife is put into, ein lo takona b'hagola, you can't do cleaning that, kashri that with hagola. V'asol haklins bo hasak and pesach, and therefore he brings out from the Maril that you can't put the knife into that unkashered sheath on Pesach. The Mishnah Berurah Sivkot and Chavav tells us, Lefi shiyev shol anakro heitev mimifnim, because you can't clean it out possibly from mamoshes from the inside. In lo shiyev tachatvirus, unless you open it up, untie the threads to keep it together, v'yinakro heitev, then clean it out well. And then, v'az, afilu hagola, and so then it wouldn't even need hagola. Klisha pivtzar, any narrow utensil, v'yeshom chalud, and there's rust over there, shiyev shol asira, that you can't get the rust out, lo mahani lo hagola. He brings out from the Achronim that Hagola won't work there as well because the rust will prevent the cleaning out well of the narrow opening. Od katsu, the chomokum shesar Hagola, wherever you need Hagola, lo mahanin le kalfo b'chli umnus. You can't peel off pieces of the utensil whenever you require Hagola because ki abalua yotze midofen ledofen, because the blios go through and through from one end to the other end. O kli umnus, and when you peel off a part of the kli, lo mahani rak b'mokum shesar tzklifa, it will only peel off that part, but it won't peel off the blios that are further inside. Let us now start Siv Dalet. Kalim shemishtamshim behem ayidei or. Any kli that is used directly on the fire, not through water, for example, but it's used directly on the fire. Kigon, for example, shbudim, spits of a barbecue, the askalos, or the grates of an oven or a barbecue, v'chayotzim, or anything like this. The halacha is tzrichim libun. You must do libun. Hagola will not work on these types of utensils. Let's begin to understand this by looking at the Mishnah Berurah in Sivkot and Chav Zayin, where he writes, Pirish, b'limayim, we're talking here, it's directly on the fire without water intervening. For example, it could go in shpud, the spit, or the askel, the grate, shetzolin alav, moyasa shel chametz, which you're grilling something like a knish of chametz. V'afapi sha'askela kishetzolin agaba toshin oso ba'alya, even though on the grate you do put some oil on the grate, omoshin p'nebishumon, you put some fat on there, grease it up, that won't prevent the fire from directly putting in the isser or the chametz into the grate. That's different than a frying pan that we'll learn about when we reach Sif Yud Aleph. Since the chametz actually goes into this during the roasting process, and there is no same tam type of effect over here. There's no not by not. It's not the chametz going into the liquid then going into the grate. Via an intermediary, but it's going directly. The chametz goes in directly on its own. Therefore, it can't come out with hagola. It must come out. You need to use fire to get it out. Because of the principle, the chibolo kach polto, the way it comes in, the way it comes out. Although there's a big discussion over here in the issue footnote number 27 as to what exactly this means halacha lemaisa ayin shom. See also Dirshu footnote number 26 for more details. The Mishnah Berurah continues, he says, Avolim yadua lo shalot tzolu olav chametz. But if you know that this grate wasn't used for chametz, rak shetzolu olav basur and melach, it was with meat and salt, shalot nivdak b'chametz, you're not sure that there may have been chametz over there, but you don't know for certain, but zeh daib agola, that would be enough to do agola, v'afilu l'chachila, even l'chachila. With that, we conclude today's share.